Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, we've reached Friday, and of course, that means we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet. But I think Kevin wants to do a bunch of prop bets today on the Super Bowl.
How did you know?
I just get a feeling with you.
Wow. That is. We did not talk about this, by the way. I want everybody to know. We did not chat. I was not going to say anything to you that I was thinking about it. But, yeah, I've got a bunch of them, actually.
And I just had a feeling, knowing what I'm dealing with, that he would want to do it. And they're actually, look, I'll be frank with you. I think they're fun. There's no way I would wager a dime on any of this junk.
You know, last year I would have hit the prop bet on the national anthem by taking the over.
Okay, I don't even remember.
Trust me, I remember. Because I was timing it out on my watch, and it's a good thing she extended the last lyric or the last word or so, because it just barely made it over at that point.
Hold on here. You did what?
I was timing it to see if I would make the over-under.
You did what?
I did. I timed it. Now, I would take the over on this particular one this year because Renee Fleming is an opera singer. So I would think there's going to be a lot of runs in this national anthem. And right now, the over-under is 139.5 seconds.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. I would take the over.
What does your family think as you sit there with a stopwatch timing the national anthem?
They're just laughing. And actually, Daniel walks right along with it. He wants to take the over-under along with me. He says, I'll take the under. I think it's going to be quicker. It's not. That's the over-under on the national anthem. It's 139.5.
I am either way out of step with America, or you are.
As of Friday morning, the odds were favoring the under at 139.5. I still want the over. Now, the clock starts with the first note, and it ends when the word brave has been completed. Are you ready for the next cool prop bet?
No, seriously. I want to go to Brewers Outlet now. Okay? Now. In fact, I regret not going before the show.
I think there'll be a few people that'll stop by there the next couple of hours.
Okay. So, minute 39, right?
No. 139.5 seconds.
Oh, so you're talking about two... Oh.
I don't know. I haven't figured it out into minutes yet. It's too much math
that's
for me.
It's 2 minutes. Okay. It's... So how many seconds do you say this thing?
What is it, about 2 minutes and 2 minutes and 19?
No, how many seconds?
139.
219 and a half?
Yeah, 219 and a half.
She'll be done in like 210.
Oh, no. Last year, I think it was like 235.
So you've heard her sing so often, you know?
Oh, no. I'm not saying hers was. I said last year's national.
You never even heard of her.
No, of course I never heard of her. But I'm gonna say, you know, being an opera singer, there's gonna be a lot of runs here. She's gonna drag out a few words, so that's why I went the over. Now, when she was interviewed about it, When she was interviewed about it, she said, "I want to do something reverent. I want to do something reverent." But she wants to do it in a serious way. So.
Okay.
You missed that on Media Day, didn't you?
Yeah, you know what was really weird about Media Day? It was all the times they talked about football.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with this game. There's a little bit of a discussion of football.
Well, the reason it has the rating it has, to be honest with you, is that they have done a great job over the years of having every aspect of it be entertaining. The people love the commercials, so that aspect is extremely entertaining. The commercial rollout and so forth. People have enjoyed the national anthem, the pregame entertainment. They've done a great job with the halftime entertainment and things like that. It gives a little bit of something for everybody, and that's why the rating is between 45 and 50.
You know, they're used to. I had a board game where you could watch the game and make these bets for fun. You know, it was actually a board game based on making bets, like, you know, the kickoff will go to the X yard line, or it'll be a touchback, or this whole game was about prop bets. Nothing like the prop bets we're seeing for Super Bowl 48, though. Like how many times Peyton Manning will say Omaha during the game.
Okay.
The over-under is 27.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'd take the over. Last time, I think it was like 31. How many times will beast mode be said during the game?
I mean, it's an indicator on yeah, he can play games all you want. If you really watch the game, it's an indicator on the snap count.
Well, sure it is.
I mean, it's a snap count indicator, and the other part is, I think then it's how many sounds after to snap the ball. Because you notice he only says that when it's under...
Five,
6 seconds, something like that. So that's why it's a snap count indicator. That's why when you see linemen hold their hands, people are like, why do the linemen hold their hands? Because what happens is the guard squeezes the hand of the tackle, and that's when the ball snapped.
Let's see. How many times will beast mode be said during the game? The over-under there is 2.
You mean by Joe Buck?
Well, they don't specifically say anybody. It's how many times on the broadcast will they invoke his nickname. Let's see. That's over-under is 2. I'd take the over on that one. I think they're going to use that a couple of times, especially if he has a couple of big runs.
Sure, over. Yeah.
Who'll be seen first on TV after kickoff, Aaron Andrews or Pam Oliver?
What?
Who will be seen first on TV after kickoff? Will it be Aaron Andrews or Pam Oliver?
The order they use in the NFC Championship game was Aaron Andrews first.
So I would go with that, too.
They stay in the same order they use in the NFC Championship game.
Yes, that is the odds-on favorite right now is Aaron Andrews.
Oh, my goodness.
How many times will Archie Manning be shown on TV during the game? The over-under is 2.5.
4.
You know what? This is a tough one. I think they're going to go... I don't think... 2.5 is tough. I think maybe...
None of them are tough.
I think maybe I'd have to go with 3 on this one.
None of them have anything to do with the game.
Let's see. Will Moreno cry during the singing of the national anthem? Yes or no?
By the way, they're going to vote tomorrow in the Hall of Fame.
That would make me cry if somebody doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
And I know one influential voter who's not voting for him.
No.
I will not say who it is.
Boo.
Look, I didn't think Curtis Martin should make it. I was shocked Curtis Martin made it.
I don't even want to think about it, because you and I talked about this the other day, on and off the air. If Jerome Bettis does not make it this year, it's going to be really, really difficult to get in.
Because, to be frank with you, this is a very ordinary class.
Yes.
In terms of, I mean, these are all really good players, but I mean, there's no Joe Montana in this class. There's no Dan Marino in this class. You know, guys that like, okay, great, automatic, they're in. I mean, the two senior candidates that will make it, in all likelihood, Ray Guy and Claude Humphrey, really, really good. Okay? But you can only go with five. Well, okay, which five? A lot of people think Walter Jones is the closest thing to a lock in this deal. The Seahawks offensive tackle. All right? Now, is Marvin Harrison a product of Peyton Manning, or did he help make Peyton Manning? Tim Brown, you know, Tim Brown, okay. Andre Reed, great possession receiver. Tony Dungy, you know, doesn't light me up. Eddie DeBartolo, one of the two of them might make it. Then you got Charles Haley and Michael Strahan. I mean, Haley was a big reason why both the 49ers and Cowboys won, and Strahan was a tremendous player. They're both greater impact players over there than Bettis was. So, that's interesting. What other prop bets do you have? Now you're depressed.
Now that you've completely, made me sad. And let's see. What's the other interesting one that I came up with here? I mean, you still have total team points, and you have the penalties. This is a good one. Will Michael Crabtree mention Richard Sherman in a tweet during the Super Bowl from kickoff until the final whistle? It's actually a legitimate prop bet. The odds are no.
By name? No, I would say no.
No. Will Renee Fleming wear gloves when she starts singing the national anthem?
This is an opera singer, yes.
I thought so, too. Yeah, I thought that was an easy one there. I'm going to put a whole list of these, by the way, on SteveJonesShow.com, so you can actually go through this and be entertained as Steve is right now. How many times will Eli be shown on TV during the game?
Well, gee, if they show Archie,
I would think, I mean, Eli would be right there.
Have some common sense.
But here's the funny part. Archie Manning is over under 2.5. Eli's over under 3.5.
They're sitting next to each other.
I know. I say take the over. It's your Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week.
After that segment, is there any way I could hook myself up intravenously to Brewer's Outlet?
We might be able to accommodate.
Wow. Bizarre. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up next half hour. News Radio 1070 WKOK. I don't know. This guy told me Bettis was a no.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Boy, Sports Illustrated has their Olympic preview edition out.
You saved it for me, right?
Okay. They predict that Norway will win the medal count.
No, they didn't.
They predict that Norway will win the medal count. I'm reading it right here.
I'm going to go buy a copy now.
Jeez.
Can't believe that.
12 gold, 13 silver, and 10 bronze, 35 medals.
Where's the U.S. finish?
Fifth.
What?
Yep. 14 medals. Canada, Germany, Russia, Austria, Netherlands.
Kind of a
disappointing after a big buildup.
I don't believe that at all. I mean, the U.S. finished third behind Canada and Germany. Norway was fourth 4 years ago, and not a close fourth either. I mean, were they about 14 medals behind?
Hey, in Norway, they live for this.
I agree. I'm not arguing that fact, but 14 medals, they're going to come up. They're going to make a 14-medal swing from the last 4 years?
And they get the U.S. fifth? 14 medals.
I don't think so. That's two what gold. South Korea got 4 years ago.
Two golds.
Two golds? That's a travesty.
How many golds do you think the U.S. will win?
I think they'll have seven.
Really?
Yeah, they had nine. Yeah, it was nine 4 years ago. Double digits for.
Okay, who won the gold in curling?
I think the U.S. is going to be a silver or bronze there. On the women's side, I think they got a better shot.
SI has Canada, Sweden, Great Britain. Women, Great Britain, Sweden, Canada.
I like the Canada, but I don't. Norway's not going to win anything there because their uniforms are just gaudy.
What?
It was a joke. It was referring to the picture of the uniforms we have on the Steve Jones Show Facebook page, okay?
Yeah, take them off. it says here, what? No, wow, figure skating medals for us until you get to ice dancing. Nobody watches that.
Yeah, I might agree with that. I think bobsled, the U.S. has a really good chance at becoming a multi-medal winner there. On the men's and women's side, actually.
Let's see. Bobsled. Let's see what they say here on bobsled.
The women's bobsled is very competitive in the United States.
Hockey. Men, Sweden, Russia, Canada. Women, U.S., Canada, Finland. There's one.
Wait, where do they have the U.S. in hockey?
Out of the medals.
The women should be at least a silver.
Women, U.S. That was one of the two golds.
Okay. My guess is Canada's the silver, then, if they have the U.S.
gold. Yes. Yes, they do. Halfpipe, aerial, ski cross, halfpipe, singles,
see,
skeleton.
That's what saves the U.S. right there in the winter games more than anything. It's like halfpipe.
Yeah.
They may sweep that one.
Let's see.
Come close to it.
Speed skating. Yeah, you're looking for what, bobsled?
Yeah. Begins with a B.
Well, they don't do it like that. Okay, snowboards, half pipe. Let's see, these are their SI predictions. Before I let my subscription run out, I think they didn't do a very good job of handling the... they don't do a very good job of properly covering crises. Let's see here. Luge. Amazingly, nobody. Two-man luge. I'm sorry, you have to have some pride and say no to that.
I'm not a big fan of two-man luge, I must admit.
No. That's a... I figured they put the luge in the... Luge, Nordic combined snowboarding, skeleton, ski jumping. What the heck's the bobsled?
Wait a minute, who did you say was on the cover of this issue?
Bodie Miller.
That's not who I'm seeing.
Well, they regionalized them. I have Bodie Miller.
Oh, okay. All right.
The last run, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I see the Bodie Miller one now. He's got, like, ice all around him.
Yeah, whatever. That's good for him. Yeah. My athlete, here we go, bobsled. Two-man. Switzerland, Germany, Austria. Four-man. Russia, Germany, Austria. Women, Canada, Germany, Austria.
I don't think so.
Well, this looks bad.
I disagree.
Okay. All right, here's the Sports Illustrated projected medal count. Norway with 35. Okay. They had 23 the last time. They were fourth. The United States had 37 the last time. They predict them second with 34, 13 golds. Canada third, 31 medals. They were third last time with 26. Germany fourth, 30 medals. And Russia with 25 would be fifth. Bobsled, they have the U.S. Two-man second, silver. Four-man, they have them gold. And women, they have them silver and bronze. Okay?
All right.
And then, yeah.
I'm just going to have to pick it up to disagree with them. I'm just to find out how many times I disagree with them.
They only have one medal for the United States in figure. Actually, two. ice dancing gold, and team bronze.
Do they have Michaela Schifrin winning anything in the slalom and giant slalom? She could be. The U.S. ski team is really trying to find a fill-in for Lindsey Vonn, and they've been pushing this 18-year-old a lot.
Downhill skiing, they have a silver and giant slalom for the men. Combined,
that's probably
gold.
Okay.
Women's Schifrin in the slalom.
Yeah,
gold.
Because she's the reigning World Cup champ too.
Gold. Combined, no. Oddly enough, in biathlon, no United States medals at all.
Never usually happens.
I say if you want to make it really, really exciting so that the American would get involved and the ratings would go crazy, I'd say make it a paintball competition.
Where suddenly they take out each other? Is that what you're saying with paintball?
Suddenly you're on skis and firing rifles, nice. And it's paintball. Nice. Now, I watch that. Look, they're stopping to shoot at targets.
Keep that Michaela Schifrin, keep that name in your mind. She could very well
Here's
take the
one
place
for
of
you.
Lindsey Vonn.
Here's one for you. Keep the name Peyton Manning in your mind. That's the one that people know who it is.
You're right. That's one guy that you're going to keep in mind.
All right, so you keep that in mind. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports. Now, was one of the prop bets on the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I didn't go that far down, but I'm sure there is something, like what song they're going to play.
Or whether they're going to be shirtless or not.
Well, I did hear a rumor about that one, yes.
All right. Crazy. Bruno Mars wearing a hat?
Yes, I know there's one on Bruno Mars.
Ay, ay, ay. I don't even know what the dude looks like. All right.
Why does that not surprise me?
That's because I'm old. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Hey, Tony.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
I will tell you what, though. I think I would put your money on the yes for the Chili Peppers going shirtless. My vote is on Flea.
Flea? There's a guy named Flea?
I don't know if I've lost any listeners. If I have, I apologize.
There's a guy named Flea? Really?
Indeed, there is.
I feel like I'm missing a whole wide world out there. I apologize to the audience.
I think you've done just fine not knowing that.
I was going to say, but I think I'm showing my age tremendously on the show today. Well, when's Heinz Field going to get a Super Bowl?
Yeah, right. Good question. I don't know if the Squirrel Hill tunnels could accommodate a Super Bowl. I think that would be the major issue. Weather apparently not going to be a factor anymore in Super Bowl. So
yeah.
I guess if Detroit can have one, Steve.
Yeah, of course they got that dome. So that's
yep.
Have you talked to anybody that about the London thing and the state of the league today? Roger Goodell talked about that. How did the Steeler players feel about their London experience, but then B, physically, how were they after their London experience, even though they did have a week off afterward?
Yeah, they didn't like it. Now, you know, part of that might be that was about the peak of horrendousness
right.
for the Steelers when they were over in London.
That was
that
the
was
low
about
point,
as bad
yeah.
as things had gotten all season, but they definitely did not like the trip. They didn't like the fact, there wasn't a whole lot they liked about the trip at all. Now, frankly, the Steelers went over very late. They tried to avoid some of the grand ball type stuff that the Vikings did. I'm not sure if the league was real happy with that the Steelers made their trip over there so late. But it was difficult on them. There's no question about that. And they were not shy to voice their displeasure. At the same time, because they were so bad, Steve, I think if they had won, we might have heard even more about how much they disliked it. I think they were very conscious not to make that an excuse for how poorly they played, and they were sort of quick to throw that caveat in there. But no, it was not something that they were fond of, and I don't know anybody. I can't recall anybody talking about it like it was a great positive thing.
What about afterward, did they still feel, I believe they had a bye week after that game, right? If I recall
correctly. Yeah, they did.
So they had plenty of time to recover and bounce back. So that really was never an issue. But if London has a team, you're not going to be allowed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, again, you know, and the players all go to the same place. This is a league that's talking so much about player safety. And, you know, the numbers have come in, and if those numbers are correct, then you know, their anti-concussion measures and their head injury, you know, rules and so forth have worked, or at least are starting to work. But again, you know, the players are real quick to go to the place that they're talking about player safety, and now they want a team in London, play 18 games. Et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, unless you find a player who, you know, has a unique viewpoint, I can't see too many of these players being fond of that whole idea.
Right. Well, it was brought up today, and the commissioner, you know, they're going to put three games in there next year. And the commissioner is obviously bullish on this. That's why I thought it would be interesting to get a Steeler perspective as to what their experience was like. Give me another Steeler perspective. Free agency's coming up. We talked about this briefly last week. Anything change in terms of what the thought process is in Pittsburgh, what they want to do with it?
Not right now. I mean, I think that the main things they need to do are sit down with the agents of a couple of players in particular and get things figured out so they can exercise a plan and execute a plan. Those players would be guys like Ike Taylor. You know, he is due about $12 million this year. He can't play at that number in Pittsburgh. He simply can't. They're going to have to bring that number down if they're going to want to bring Ike Taylor back. They're probably going to have to take a deep breath and take the hit on Troy Polamalu, and then they'll have to decide what they want to do with Lamar Woodley. The Woodley thing is very interesting because long term it can save them money by letting him go. Short term it's going to cost them some money. It could cost them upwards of $15 million over the next two seasons by letting Lamar Woodley just go. But I think, you know, I don't know how they're going to execute much of a free agent plan until they get those three things figured out. And then, of course, there's the matter of extending Ben Roethlisberger's contract as well. Steve, a lot of money opens up for the Steelers after the 2014 season. They are about $10 million over the cap as we speak right now for 2014. So the relief is coming, but it's going to be a difficult battle before they get there.
The Penguins last night had an impressive 4-1 win over the Kings. And they've had a lot of impressive moments. And then they've also had that Edmonton moment, and they had the Florida Panthers moment. What kind of team is this right now? Because obviously last night they looked like they could beat anybody the way they played.
Steve, I think that those moments that you're talking about are exactly what we saw in the playoffs last year, and I think that's the team that this is. They're a team that is capable of great things, but that is also, you know, that walks that dangerous line of falling into bad habits. And when they do that, you know, just about anybody can beat them, like you just said. Over an 82-game season, you're going to lay an egg every now and then.
Sure.
So, you know, when you look at those moments individually, maybe there's nothing to get too upset about, but the fact is it goes back to last season, and they're the same types of games. And like you said, two games against the Panthers this year, the game, you know, that you mentioned against Edmonton, those kind of games is something that can happen with this team when they play that way, when they fall into those bad habits and when they don't play soundly in front of their own goaltender. With a backup goalie in, like they did last night, that's usually not going to be an issue. They're usually going to play that tight defense and play a sound defensive game. Another thing that is worth noting, Chris Letang was ill. Looks like he had some type of an upper respiratory infection, type of a flu or cold type of symptoms. But Chris Letang didn't play last night, and they played almost a perfect game. There's no doubting Letang's skill. There aren't many players who can do some of the things that Chris Letang can do, but there are legitimate questions about whether he's a fit in Pittsburgh. You know, he is guilty of a lot of mistakes when they have those kinds of games. If you look back at those types of eggs that they've laid, Chris Letang usually plays poorly in those games.
How has Dan Bylsma handled the balance between Olympic responsibilities and Penguin responsibilities?
You know, he's talked about the fact that yes, that is a distraction, you know, that the focus is on those games, and that is a distraction, but he also said at the same time that it's a focus that, you know, the players and coaches have earned. And I think that the players in the NHL look at the Olympics so fondly. They really do view it as an honor to play for their teams, to play for their countries. And, I simply think it's something that they will battle through while acknowledging that, yes, it does take their focus away. I think part of Bielsma's looking forward to it being over, but he wouldn't trade it for the world. This is something he's wanted to do for a long, long time, and I think most of the players feel the same way. So it's going to be interesting what the NHL decides to do going forward after these Olympic Games.
Also, moving forward with the Pirates, pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting for the Pirates. Everyone's wondering which pitchers will report or which ones won't, or which one won't.
Yeah, that's a big deal. There's a lot of teams involved. Peter Gammons today said that maybe as many as half the teams in baseball have contacted Burnett's agent since he made the statement, or since he had an intermediary make the statement that he's planning on pitching in 2014. Steve, if it comes down to a couple million dollars difference for one season, it's going to be hard to forgive the Pirates for that. We're not talking about a long-term deal here. You can understand a team like the Pirates walking away from a long-term deal. But if he plays for, say, $13 million somewhere, and, he could have played in Pittsburgh for $9 million, that's going to look bad for the Pirates. Yes, Burnett's older. Is he going to pitch the way he did the last 2 years? Even if he doesn't, this is a guy who led the league in a couple of legitimate categories last year: strikeouts per nine innings, ground ball ratio.
Right.
And the final week of the season last year, Steve, he pitched two great games against the Reds, two must-win games, and he was tremendous. It wasn't just the bad game in St. Louis that everybody remembers that his season ended on.
Right, exactly. But they really... are the Pirates still acting like a franchise that doesn't have money, in your opinion? Or, how are they? Nobody's the Yankees, so let's take that off the board. But I've noticed other teams have rebuilt themselves by doing it a different route with, hate to say this, based on what seems to be reasonable contracts based to what other people are getting paid.
Right. That's a tough question to answer. They're not acting the way they did 5 years ago when they didn't have the kind of players who deserved this kind of money. It was nice to see them give a long-term extension to Andrew McCutchen. They're trying to make wise decisions, but I think that answer is still waiting, to truly be answered. Or that question is still waiting to be answered. Let's see what they do with Burnett. If the move of turning down his or not offering him a qualifying offer, ends up resulting in him coming to Pittsburgh for a slightly lower number, then that probably was a smart decision. But at the end of the day, they're depending on a lot of young players to work out, and that simply doesn't always happen, even if you draft well. So I think I hesitate to say that they're acting all that different. They are still acting like a team that doesn't have money. And frankly, they're going to get increased TV money this year. They are raising ticket prices. They are going to have some money to put in their pockets this year. I suppose if they spend that during the season to acquire some talent as the season, fleshes out, then perhaps that is legitimate. But if they don't do that, and if they don't bring Burnett back, it's hard to say that they've changed their ways.
Would they consider a McCutchen-like deal with Pedro Alvarez if he puts up similar numbers this season?
They would consider it, absolutely. I think they'd consider it. I don't know that his agent would listen at that point.
Right.
Scott Boras is a guy who doesn't like to sign his guys to deal without, presenting themselves to the open market. So I think this time last year, I think perhaps Boras would have been amenable to that, but the Pirates would have been silly to do that at this time last year. So, I think the Pirates are probably going to get Pedro Alvarez for another couple of years. I think they have until he's 29, which is three more seasons.
Right.
And then I think he's going to walk away. Maybe that'll be good for them. Maybe it won't be.
As always, Tony, absolute pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Same to you, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We stayed away from the Bettis part for you.
I'm telling you, I got a feeling all this is going to change by tomorrow night. I'm going to feel good. I just got a feeling.
Why'd you buy Xanax?
No.
Okay. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Oh, I just saw the predictions on the class for the... this is on SI.com.
Okay.
Now, Joel Corey, former sports agent, does not have a vote. But he's got Claude Humphrey, Ray Guy, which we talked about earlier, Michael Strahan, Charles Haley, Walter Jones, Marvin Harrison, Derek Brooks.
This is a travesty. Let's hope he's wrong.